John Brandley, you've brought the sun with you and everything. Look at this.
It's typical radio presenters lying through their teeth again. It's nasty, it's miserable, it's grisly. It's England, what do you expect?
It's pants. You turned up at the window and you looked at me and you looked like one of those fishermen, you know, straight off a trawler. You're all done up with your hood and all the rest of it.
And it's not even cold out there.
No,
nasty, it's grisly. It's that cold mist that gets right through to your
pants. That's what we call it, pants.
I'll take your word for it.
It's pants.
It's a different generational thing. I think pants are something you wear.
Wet and chilly, like my pants. Yeah, that's where it comes from. So, John, what you got to show us today, then?
Well, I brought in some amazing artwork that's been brought into the gallery.
I like that one.
But first of all, I want to complain. And that is, I want to say I was out on Sunday, Remembrance Sunday.
I was at the parade on Sunday.
Were you?
Mm.
I'm glad to hear it, because I wasn't, and we need people at the parade.
Yeah.
And we need people to remember, and we need people to honour. And they didn't make the ultimate sacrifice, the people that died, because they didn't have a choice.
They didn't make a sacrifice
to say, I am going to give you my life.
No.
They were told to do their duty. And that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got killed. It wasn't making an accurate sacrifice. Yeah. And
all was terrible, terrible, terrible.
I agree. But the what I think is terrible is not to remember them.
Yeah.
And the parades and the memorial services, 100%. You couldn't do it better than we do here in England.
Yeah.
But what I found atrocious was I was in a community centre and nothing happened. There wasn't a bell, there wasn't a whistle.
No silence.
People didn't stop on the exercise machines. People didn't stop in the cafe or the walkways or the car park.
Oh, that's not good.
Nothing.
No, that's not good at all.
I thought that was atrocious.
Yeah.
That's it. Finished. Done.
Right. They should be remembered. The people that gave their lives for this, they should be remembered.
They were remembered by the people who were in the forces or in the cadets or in the various armed groups, or very often by people who'd lost somebody in the wars.
Yeah.
But it was more the younger generation.
Yeah, yeah.
People in the 20s, 30s, 40s, who were just too busy with their own lives.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah,
to give two minutes of their lives.
It's not a lot to ask, is it, really?
It's not a lot to ask.
No.
But I also think that the venue was at fault for not...
Yeah, they should
reminding people, alerting people.
I've been in venues like that, and they've had posters up. This is what we're going to do at 11 o'clock. Bump, it all stops.
You go into a building. There's a sign there saying at 11 o'clock we're going to have a 2 minute silence. We'll ring a bell. We'll clang. We'll ask you to stop, or just switch off the power.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, you warn people first.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be. When people are so wrapped up in themselves.
That's what the thing is. We are all so wrapped up in ourselves now. Well, not all of us, because some of us done it.
A lot of people did it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a very, very sad thing that in an area like this where, you know, we're not working every second of the day to make a penny.
No.
Especially not on a Sunday.
No, that's right.
You know, we're not scrambling for every penny of income.
Yeah, yeah.
So surely you can give 2 minutes of your life once a year.
Yeah.
To all those people. And it's not only the people that were killed, but the people that were injured or damaged or mentally damaged. Or, you know, there were so many add-ons, if you like.
Oh, totally.
Just pay some respect occasionally.
Totally. Now, this first picture seems to do that. Am I right?
This first picture seems to do that, funnily enough. It's a Banksy. It's a print.
Yeah.
It's the very famous picture, Kids on Guns, with the two children standing on top of a pile of weapons with a heart balloon floating above them. A very famous image by him. And this is one of a collection, and they are the pre-printing of the book.
Yeah.
So these are larger than the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, because in printing, they don't blow them up, they squash them down.
Mm.
And then you get much sharper resolution in the book.
That's right.
And that's what these are. These are from 2008, when Banksy's book, Wool and Peace, came out. P-I-E-C-E.
Yeah.
Which is rather appropriate for our conversation.
Totally.
And these are the proofs from the printers that have got the printing comments on the back. And there's a whole series of
them. I love that. It's
gorgeous.
The little boy and a girl that are standing on all the guns
with
and
a teddy
bombs
bear.
And with a teddy bear. They're in silhouette. And the only thing that's colour on it is the heart-shaped balloon.
It's lovely.
Beautiful.
That's Flying Copper, which is very famous. Again, you know, is that
another Banksy?
That's another Banksy. This is a whole series of them. I've got 12 of them. That's the girl sweeping, lifting the curtain and sweeping things under with a wall behind.
Yeah.
That's the one that was then, he worked with Damien Hirst and created a painting that was sold about 6-7 years ago for £1 million.
Yeah. Oh, really?
At auction for charity. And then, obviously, recently, there was the one that sold for £10 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's gone into a whole new league of collectors.
Yeah.
We've just got some... I mean, these just are amazing. What I find amazing about these in particular is they're not only wonderful pieces of art, but they are an interesting piece in the history of Banksy, in the transition from being a small collected artist in London, predominantly London and Bristol. Then when the book came out, you needed the book to make him world famous, collected.
Yeah.
And this is part of the process of making that book.
So are these prints?
These are prints.
Okay. And do you actually sell these prints?
We will be selling these prints. We're still doing some research on them. There's 12. Each one is unique.
Right.
Each one is unique. Each one's written on the back with details from the printer, not from Banksy, but from the printer.
Yeah.
Change this, alter this.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, the one with the flying copper, for instance, the top of the helmet's cut off.
Yeah, that's right.
So what they did in the printing was they lowered it effectively.
Right.
So that when you look at the page in the book, you see the top of the helmet.
Yes. Yes.
So this is a mistake printing.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Okay.
That's why all of these have been done.
Yeah.
To check that what they were going to print was what the artist wanted to see in the book.
Okay. So they were all painted by Banksy on a wall somewhere.
This was on a wall or on cardboard. Flying Coppers is very famous. It was used as a cardboard cutout in his first London show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
About a dozen of them, or dozen and a half, hanging from the ceiling.
Oh,
life
right.
size.
Yeah.
Right. Policeman in riot gear.
Yeah.
Smiley face and angel wings.
Yeah.
Right. Because they were cardboard, most of them have got damaged.
Yeah, yeah.
The last one I saw in real life, if you like, sold over £150,000.
Really?
Because it was a sculpture, if you like. But I was amazed. I was in London on Thursday on the Underground, and there are two fully kitted armed policemen on the Underground.
Oh, really?
Sat on the platform at Liverpool Street.
That's unusual.
It was unusual, but I mean, you know, full black riot gear. The only thing they didn't have on was the helmet.
Is there any sort of alert going on at the moment?
I think they just have people out there all the time. It's to make people feel comfortable.
Hmm. Which has the adverse effect.
Yeah, well, it depends what you're going to do, you know. Yeah. It kind of depends what you're going to do. If you've got some nasty thoughts, maybe it's not a good idea. If you're standing there with a bag of swag that you've just nicked from the jewellers, probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, I suppose it's a calming effect.
Yeah.
It's to show people if there are police out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they are one of the services that you see around and about. And it's nice to see them out there.
Yeah.
Slightly scary when all you can see is the whites of their eyes as they walk them down the platform.
I used to live next door to one of these police years and years ago. And he hadn't had his gas meter read. And back then, the gas people used to give you a certain amount of warnings.
Yes.
And then they used to come and open your door themselves, go in and read the meter and then close the door afterwards. So my father knew that he was an armed policeman because he'd seen him on... He was at Heathrow when there was a lot of problems.
Oh, right.
And he appeared on the telly and we all went, no. We never knew what he was doing. Very, very calm fellow, very quiet. Didn't raise attention.
Well, they have to be. You can't be temperamental doing a job like that,
that's
can
right,
you? I mean, otherwise you go around shooting everybody.
Yeah, that's right. So we saw him on the TV. No. And then all of a sudden, about 6 weeks later on, we saw the gas ball go bump through the letterbox and open the door with whatever they use. It went in. Then come straight back out again and close the door. So my dad rang the police straight away. Yeah, one of your boys who lives next door to us. Yeah. They wouldn't see the amount of police that came down. That is shocking. It all came down, woof, straight away.
Why?
Well, my dad said, I don't know if he's got, if we see him on TV, we don't know if he's got anything in the house or so.
Yes.
Just thought it was best to, we've told you now,
yes,
we've done our bit.
Yeah.
And they all just come rushing down because they didn't know it was the gas board. So nobody asked for any IDs or anything. Nobody challenged the person doing it. So, and they all just come rushing down, went in and all the rest of it. He came back out the door, looked around, no, it's all right. And then they got hold of the gas ball. The gas ball said, yes, it was us. And so that was a bit of excitement one afternoon. Well, John,
they're the quiet ones.
Yeah,
they're the quiet ones.
They've got to be. They've got to be.
They're the quiet ones and the level-headed ones. Mm. But you'd expect him to pay his gas bill.
I don't doubt you paid it. It's just that if you hadn't had the meter read, and it actually, I think it even says it now, because a few years ago, I was reading it. If you don't let us. I got one because I was always out when they were knocking. If you don't let us, it was something like, if you don't let us come in and read the meter, then we will.
Yes,
we will.
They have. It's an interesting thing. They have the reasonable right of entry.
Yeah.
And I had it at the gallery one time where they said, you know, we're going to take you to Gurdjieff and you haven't let us in. Mm. I said, well, I've let you in, but you don't want to come when I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm only there Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Yeah.
And they got quite stroppy, and I said, I tell you what. You break in, and my insurance company will deal with you.
They don't break in. I was quite shocked at how easy this guy got.
No, you would have to break in with my place. I mean,
oh really?
I've got grills. I've got.
Oh well, that's that. It's a can opener, is it?
You know, you can come any time you like.
Yeah,
by
as long as I'm here.
But I was dealing with a client, and they were actually talking about buying a Banksy print, and this guy came and said, "Come to read the meter." I said, "Well, it's not convenient." "No, come to read the meter." He said, "No. I'm dealing with a client." And at the time, it's changed again now because the companies have changed. But at the time, they would ring up and they would make an appointment to come and see me.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
You have to in some premises.
They're entitled to access, but they're not entitled to disrupt your business.
Yeah, you have to in some premises.
And they don't think it through like that. Hmm. So now every now and then they send me a nasty letter saying, you know, we haven't read your meeting for 2 years. I say, fine, come and see me on Tuesday. Okay, well, come and see me on Tuesday. But it's like so many of these organisations, they're full of Jobsworths.
Yeah, as long as they get in, I don't suppose they really care.
They don't care. But the point was they were throwing their weight about unreasonably.
Yeah, no, you can't have that.
And, you know.
But at the end of the day, you pay them, not the other way around.
At the end of the day, you're paying them.
Yeah. John, always a pleasure to speak to you as always.
Talking about art. I'm not supposed to be talking about the gas man.
No, that's all right. You've shown me the prints are fantastic.
They are really amazing. They're an important historic document of Banksy, as well as being Banksy, so that's nice.
Well, what we're going to do, when we take a picture of you up against the green screen, if you hold
I'll
a couple of
these. Put one over my face if you like.
If you want, it's entirely
don't
up
want to crack
you.
Your camera. You know?
John, we'll see you again the same time next month.
Perfect.